Welcome back, everyone. We have moved outside. This is June 8th, 2023. Game 3, Stanley Cup. Some baseball's on tonight. But been firing through these. It's amazing. I literally get on, and now it starts getting windy right when I get on here. But anyway, we're going to roll with this. Gotten through a bunch of these today. It's been kind of fun. Not focusing on work and doing something that's a little bit more enjoying. We've looked at 2022. We looked at 2014 and 2006. We kind of pulled it back 8 years at the beginning. Then we jumped back up to 2016, which was our offensive year. And now we're going to take it back to 2009. And I think 2009, to me, I think was the launch of, I think that was the very beginnings of the modern CFFL. Still only had 8 teams. And it was certainly still a raw setup compared to where we are at today. So we had 8 teams, 2 all CFFL teams, since we only had 8 teams. In 2009, you know, getting closer to modern day, I guess that's probably the best way to put it. I'm in it, finished with a 7-3 record. And pretty mediocre team though. Brian G, 7-3, much better team. You know, JH, 6-4. He's in the middle of his run. Yet Alex A, RIP as an owner, 6-4. Jeremy P, his first year in the CFFL, makes a nice run, which we'll get into here in a second. Andrew R, RIP, was 4-6. A little stopgap. Renee H, 2009. We were desperate in the early days of the CFFL. There wasn't much game planning going on in that camp, if I remember. This is pre-kids. And Brian S. So Renee H went 3-7. Brian S went 2-8. And if you looked at some of the all-time performers, you start to see some of what we have today coming out in 2009 season. As I said in the previous podcast on 2006, the first 3 years, there was only one player who was an all-CFFL performer. We get to 2009. And we actually have 2. Now, there's some theory behind that. It's not that the players were better, but when you create more of a ceiling, you create also directly create a greater floor. So there's a greater variance between the best and average, and then average to not so good. So those first 2 years, it was really difficult for there to be any separation because there was only 4 teams. And it had to be really bad for a player to not do well if you were starting that player, because there was ample players, ample roster spots. It was difficult for there to be separation, which is why the Colt Brennan piece was why he was so monumental. Like, it's like Ruth hitting more homers than the entire American League in a season. 2009, this was our second year with 8 teams. I think didn't have much of a playoffs still at this point, since we only had 8 teams. Some of the creativity that we have in the league certainly wasn't there yet, but you start to see the beginnings of what is here now. It, you know, as far as the lineups and some of the performance, and really overall, you know, we can quickly go through. Jeremy disposed of May, 196 to 170. Not bad scores. In the semifinals in 2009. JH, really, in a barn burner, beats Brian G 242 to 224. Man, that's a great semifinal week. Two games separated by, what, 18 and 26 points. Some close matchups. And you get to the finals. JH beats Jeremy by 8 points. That's three playoff games, and your greatest margin of victory is 26 points. It's like a really good CFFL playoff run there. So I think that's some of the intrigue, some of the buildup, some really good performance taking place. You start to see that happening in the 2009 season. If you want to, we take a quick run through that championship lineup there to see who were some of these big time players. Okay. And that'll lead us into, let's see what we got here. Lead us into who some of these all time performers were. So for Jeremy, you had Jimmy Clausen. Jeremy always went with middle of the road quarterback. You got to respect that. 31 points, but he just crushes it. Absolutely crushes it in the running back position. How about these names? How about Toby Gearhart from Stanford, scoring 41 points, 136 rushing yards, four touchdowns, one reception, 32 yards. Those Stanford running backs for Jeremy, man. Him and Christian McCaffrey. Here is a name. How about this one? It's kind of depressing now. I mean, you think 14 years ago, these guys were 21. They're in their mid-30s now. Harvey Unga, BYU, 67 rushing yards, three catches, 12 yards. Total of 10 points. A name that we're going to come back to here. One, Freddie Barnes, 15 rushing yards, 12 catches, 197 yards, two touchdowns, a total of 44 points. Greg Salas from Hawaii, 13 points for Jeremy. Cody Slate, his starting tight end, did nothing actually this game. Nothing at all. No catches. Sorry about that, Cody. But Cody was a good performer for him throughout the year. So I'm not going to make too much fun of him. Austin Pettis. And he went for four receptions, 69 yards for the Boise State product. And Alabama defense got him 52 points. And the Rutgers defense, yeah, 2009 we played two defenses. Rutgers defense got him 5 points. Kind of crazy to think that Jeremy started the Rutgers defense in the CFFL title game. I guess that's Shiano Volume 1, though, right? Jay starts a freshman by the name of Andrew Luck. Had 156 passing yards, an interception, and 32 rushing yards. Grand total of 5 points. I'm really struggling to figure out how Jay won the CFFL title here. But I can start to tell you why with the next guy. Another name we're going to come back to, a guy by the name of Jaquizz Rodgers. 165 rushing yards, two rushing touchdowns, six catches, 33 yards, grand total 37 points. Pretty impressive. Really impressive, actually. And like I said, we're going to get more into him a little bit later. Frank Gooden from yes, you know who Frank Gooden is. From Louisiana Monroe, 108 rushing yards, nothing else. 10.8 fantasy points. There's another name for you. Golden Tate. Shout out to Russell Wilson and his wife. Golden Tate, 12 rushing yards, 9 catches, 123 yards, and a receiving touchdown. 28 points for Golden Tate. Another Tulsa product from the late 2000s. Damaris Johnson, 18 rushing yards, 17 catches, 196 yards. No touchdowns. caught 17 balls in a game. Just don't see, you don't see guys getting 17 catches anymore. I know I'm sounding old right now, and I said I wasn't going to sound old, but man, take me back. Take me back to 17 catch performances. And I mean, you can't do that anymore because then someone's going to cry and go in the portal. Feed Damaris Johnson. So he got 37 points. Dennis Pitta. This, if you were going to talk about an MVP for somebody in the CFFL title game, this was probably it. Dennis Pitta at tight end before we had all the tight end points to kind of equate some of the scoring of tight ends with the other positions. Dennis Pitta, nine balls, 111 yards, two receiving touchdowns, 32 points, the same amount of concussions that he had, and back injuries. I think he literally broke his back playing for the Ravens. 32 points for Dennis Pitta at BYU as a 37-year-old tight end. And let's not forget Brandon West, Western Michigan. 102 yards, a rushing touchdown, one reception, 6 yards, 17 total points. Clemson D gets Jay 42 points. Arizona State defense gets him 6. So really kind of a wash of the defense. Jeremy actually picks up a little bit there. But Rodgers, Tate, Johnson, and West all crush it. Jeremy had really good performances from Barnes and Gearhart, but not a whole lot there. I mean, the fact that he overcame Andrew Luck only scoring 5 points. How did he do that? And I think you see Dennis Pitta scores 32 points, and he gets nothing from Cody Slate. That's really the difference. That's why Jeremy doesn't have six titles today, six notches on that jacket. So that gives you kind of a rundown of what the championship game was and what the playoffs were. We want to take a quick look at the 2009 draft. All right, let's take a look at some of our first round flavor. So we had 8 picks in the first round, and boy, was it bad. How about this? The best player in the draft from a WAR perspective was a Tulane running back named Andre Anderson from Tulane. He went 5th overall. I selected him. Bryce Beal for Alex A. Did next to nothing. The number one overall pick, Taylor Potts. My gosh, a minus 0.1 WAR. Eugene Jarvis, Kent State, Jeremy P., a minus 0.2 WAR. Daniel Porter had 1 start for Brian S., minus 0.2 WAR. He went 7th overall. Austin Davis, 3rd overall, minus 0.3 WAR for Brian G. DeAndre Brown, Southern Mississippi wide receiver, 6th overall, a minus 1.2 WAR for Renee H. And interestingly enough, JH took Bob Griffin 1st overall in 2009. Guy didn't even play a game for him. He didn't even start a game for him. He started LeFevre and Luck. And LeFevre was one of the reasons that he won the CFFL. Actually, I could be off on that. Let me double check that. But he didn't even start Bob Griffin. He was the 8th overall pick. He took Rodgers 9th. So just to kind of give you an idea there. Now, who were the best players? Rodgers, Barnes, Golden Tate taken in the 3rd round, Toby Gearhart, Joe Webb, not bad. So some names that you're going to hear here in a second. And the worst player that year, a 2nd-round pick named Aldrick Robinson, SMU. I had the misfortune of drafting him. Jeremy Avery, running back from Boise State, a minus 1.1 WAR. Some bad, bad drafting back then. My goodness, some really bad drafting. It's pretty yuck. So, let's take a look at these all CFFL teams real quick. Second team, all CFFL. Quarterback, just mentioned him, Joe Webb, UAB. 1.5 WAR. Running backs, Javid Best. I think he had a bunch of concussions with the Lions, and that's why he kind of flamed out. about this? Bob Turbin, Robert Turbin from Utah State, Brian S., and Brian S., Deion Lewis. Brian S. had a bad year, but Brian S. had two really good running backs. He had a really good wide receiver, too. What happened with Brian S.? He even had a tight end, too. Those were your running backs, anywhere between a 1-1 and a 0.7 war. Your wide receivers, Brian G. had Jordan Shipley. Brian S. had Desmond Briscoe. And Jeremy P. had Greg Salas. Between 1-1 and 0.7 war for those individuals on the second team All-CFFL team. Two tight ends. Jason Harmon from Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic putting out some decent tight ends over the years. Okay, Brian S. has him, 0.3 war. Now, you got to remember, this is back when some of the scoring for tight ends, you got 1 point for every 10 yards. So you didn't have as much production coming from them at this point. Kyle Rudolph, Notre Dame, 0.19 war. Ugh. And your defenses in the 1-4 range, Florida and for Nick, and Penn State for Renee H. That is your second team All-CFFL from 2009. So let's go to our first team, the premier preeminent performers of the CFFL in 2009. Case Keenum, 2.15 war. Case Keenum can ball at Houston. They had some really good teams, really fun teams. Maybe not overall good, but, man, they had some offense. Now we start to get into some of the heavy hitters. Jaquizz Rodgers, a 3.54 war. And if you've listened to this enough, you know 2-3 war is really, really good. A 3 war is like Hall of Fame in the CFFL good. That's an all-time CFFL performance. And Jaquizz Rodgers is an all-time CFFL performer for his 2009 season out of Oregon State. Went on, played, I want to say, four of the Falcons. Maybe had a cup of coffee with the Bucks. Toby Gearhart, 2.23 war. Ryan Matthews for Brian G, 1.11 war. So those are your three running backs for 2009 on the first team All-CFFL. Freddie Barnes for Jeremy P, one of the first got one of those like foundational pieces that really developed the Jeremy P program. We're not going to say that anymore with the portal, you know, like this solidified their program, because there is no solidifying anything that can change at any moment all the time. I digress. Freddie Barnes, a 3.56 war. Wow. It's pretty impressive. 32.6 average when the position average was 18.73. That's pretty impressive. J.H. Golden Tate, 2.1 war, really good season from Golden Tate. And how about this, Brian G? I think some of you probably heard of this person before. The name of Antonio Brown from Central Michigan. Sorry, dogs are giving us some of their thoughts in here. All right, I think we're good now. Stopped it for a second. Dogs barking at nothing out here. Antonio Brown. In 2009, 1.54 war. Really strong showing for him. Tight end, Dennis Pitta, 1.62 war. The other all-first-team CFFL tight end was Cody Slate, who didn't do anything in the championship game, but had an overall solid season, 0.85 war. Pretty decent showing. And the defenses, Texas for Alex A. and Jeremy P., Alabama in 2009. So overall, Jeremy had 5 all CFFL players. Brian G had 4. Brian S finishing in last place and still getting 4 all CFFL performers. JH had 3, winning the title, but all 3 were on the first team. Alex A had 2. Nick H had 2. Andrew R had 1. Renee H had 1. So that's kind of your rundown of the 2009 season. And like we said, if we look at the all-time performers from 2009, again, only one player from 06 to 08 made an all-time CFFL team. But in 2009, we had 2, which, again, to me, starts to modernize the CFFL just a little bit more. First team, Freddie Barnes, 3.36 WAR. And Jaquizz Rodgers is second team all CFFL for JH with a 3.54 WAR. And when you look at all time for Jaquizz Rodgers, that's the fourth best running back output of all time. Freddie Barnes, his 3.36 WAR, second best all time for a wide receiver. So again, you're looking at some of the best performances ever at a position for a player with those two. So that's where I think kind of the theme of 2009 was getting us. That was kind of a pivot year because, again, 06, 07, there's four teams. 08, we were struggling to get to eight teams. It's really dicey having eight teams in 08. We somehow managed it and held it along together until we got enough people who could buy into the program, right? That huge recruiting class that we needed to make sure that it happened. And then we get to 2009, and I think you started to see some of the roots that were taking place in the league. Toby Gearhart, 24th best season all time for a running back with his 2.23 WAR. Andrew Orr, 21st best quarterback performance for Case Keenum, 80th overall. So for top 100, and then you throw Golden Tate in there, 2.1, that's the 91st best season all time, 24th overall for a wide receiver. So really, when you look at like the CFFL top 100, that's, you know, a formidable list. There's some decent talent that really took off in 2009. So just kind of gives you an idea there of what took place. Just interesting seeing some of the names here. And I think what you saw with 2009, because 2008 was our first keeper draft. So it was long. The 2008 draft was 2 days. 2 days. Or I'm sorry, the 2009 was 2 days. No, it was actually this year. Sorry. And this was the first time that you could keep players was 09. And I'm just glad we're in a much different place in the league now than we were at that point because it was tough. So some of that was tough, those early days. But you just see names on here who end up doing something even like later on. See names like Michael Floyd, Deion Lewis was a multiple-year contributor. LaMichael James, that's a name, right? Mark Ingram. So you start to see Bob Griffin. You see names on here where guys had a multi-year run. Antonio Brown had a multi-year run. Like, really promising players. And I think that's what was cool about pivoting over from drafting people each year to being able to kind of build your roster where you get a couple guys who can stick for a couple years. I think, to me, that's the most interesting part of our league is that when they become a part of who you are, that now all of a sudden you can create scarcity. And by that, we mean somebody's making a run, they are willing to forego something in the future to have an immediate return. And that's where you start to get trades. That's where you start to get people who are making deals. And any league's better when people are wheeling and dealing, when there's some sort of activity that's taking place. And I think 2009 was that first step towards having what we have today. It wasn't easy. I'll definitely say that. Like, we actually enjoy the fruits of our labor now with the league because it's just easy. Everyone just shows up. You have a good time, eat and drink. There's some work that's put in behind the scenes, but it's far easier than what it was in those first couple years when we had no idea what was going on or who we had or what that was potentially going to look like. It was just really cool that to watch it evolve from that. That's what made it really cool. So yeah, if there is a theme for 2009, I want to say it's kind of modernizing and seeing some high-end performers start to take their place. among the CFFL legends. And you start to see JH make, that's the second year, you know, he goes to the title game three times in 4 years. This is his second title. He goes back to back. We've had three back to back runs in the CFFL. J 2008, 2009, Jeremy 15, 16, and then Jeremy 21, 22. And if it wasn't for that 8-point victory, Jeremy would have been 09 and 2010. But Jay got this one. One of his two championships. I think we will call it there with this one. Hope you enjoyed it. Talking about the 2009 CFFL Memoria. And we'll be back again soon. And I'll be talking to you all soon. Take care.